Today I have chosen what is known as one of the difficult scriptures, judging. To take a deeper look at what is being said, where the teaching is coming from, and whether we have correctly understood the scriptures in the past. I've spoken on this topic several times over the years, but in the true spirit of exegesis, which is objective, scholarly interpretation of scripture, I have revisited the topic and can see where there is more gray than the black and white I've previously espoused. I'm going to use the comparison of the Gospels as a tool to point out several things that are often overlooked by speakers who lift one verse or even a partial verse out of context and present it as the law. This scripture is not a commandment, although it seems we often preach it as such. Why, if it is so black and white, is it not one of the commandments? Of course, I'm speaking of Matthew 7, verse 1, attributed to Jesus as part of the teaching of the Beatitudes on the mountainside. Chapter 7, verse 1, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Less than a dozen words, but thundered from the pulpits over generations, it is one of the main scriptures used to instill fear in those who have been convinced that they are sinners and that they will be numbered with the goats on the judgment day. What is judging? The Greek word used in Matthew 7:1 is krinos, meaning to decide or to determine. Merriam-Webster defines judging as forming an authoritative opinion, deciding as a judge, forming an estimate or evaluation about something, thinking, concluding, deducing, gathering, or inferring. That sounds as if there needs to be some weight behind a judgment. Lifting out the one scripture without looking at what goes before or what comes after the pronouncement may lead us down a totally different path from the one intended by Jesus' teaching. Let's take a look at the comparison of the Gospels, where we find this teaching mentioned in three of the four, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 7, 1-5. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Mark 4, 24 and 25. "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more." Verse 25, "Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." And in Luke 6, 37-42, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And in verse 39, he also told them this parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. And in verse 42, how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Even though these scriptures are presented as all part of the same lesson on the mountainside, there is some thought that this particular section may have been a private conversation between Jesus and the 12 disciples. When taken together, there are three main points to this teaching. Do not judge, do not condemn, and forgive. When we go back and begin to look into what is really being said here, we find that it requires digging three or more layers deep. It seldom benefits to accept the words at first glance. As the famous psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Carl Jung said, thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge. One of the first things we notice is that even though it says, do not judge or you will be judged, it does not say unequivocally, you must not judge. Why? Simply because judgments are an almost unconscious function of the human brain. We are constantly making distinctions between right and wrong, best and not so good, easy and hard, etc. As the saying goes, impressions are set within the first 15 seconds of meeting someone. We already have formed a basic picture of the person based on that quarter of a minute. Just take the time sometime to think about that for a minute. That's four times as long as you take to make or give a first impression. Kind of scary, isn't it? As I said earlier, one of the definitions of judgments is discernment. And we read in Luke 12, verses 54 to 57. Here Jesus is talking to the crowd about settling disputes. In verse 54, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. Verse 55, when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? In verse 57, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? This is Jesus telling them to make a judgment for themselves. He isn't telling them they'll be sinning if they do. Can you just imagine what our lives would be like if we suspended all judgment? If we stopped making any determinations about things and other people, life would become downright dangerous and unsustainable. Good judgment about the way we conduct our own lives and how we see the good behavior and the good character in others gives us direction and keeps us from paying the consequences of poor choices. So we see that the common sense God gave us indicates we cannot lift the partial scripture, judge not, out of the Gospels and make them a standalone commandment. Going back to the three points we took from the lesson in the comparison of the Gospels, we find that there is a difference between making a discernment or judgment and believing that we are more righteous because someone else does not see things in exactly the same way as we do. To judge maliciously is a flagrant violation of the law as set out by Jesus when he was asked about the greatest commandment in the law. Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In the same way, before condemning another, we're required to have a deep understanding of what and why the other person may have acted the way they did. You've heard it said, you can only truly understand someone after you've walked a mile in their shoes. To condemn is defined as, among other things, to denounce, to censure, to blame, to criticize, or to reprehend. Notice that the chief characteristic here is negativity. Negativity does not mesh well with love. The third lesson is forgiveness. And one of my favorite definitions of forgiveness is to allow room for error or weakness. We can appreciate that we are not perfect. Why then should we demand perfection of anyone else? Forgiving is pardoning, absolving, giving up resentments of whatever it was that caused a rift with somebody else. It becomes easier now for us to understand a little more clearly what this teaching or judging is all about. We have observed in our interactions with our workmates, our spouses, our families, and our friends that people are usually treated in much the same manner as they treat others. Kind, helpful, loving people are often repaid in kind. And as for those who abuse, defraud, and hurt others, they find themselves either abandoned by people who don't accept their lack of courtesy, kindness, and goodwill, or they are apprehended by the law and their misdeeds are taken care of legally. Either way, it seems we reap what we sow. Just as the scripture said, in the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. We are encouraged to open our eyes and see what is happening around us. When we are aware of the good and the bad that we see around us, we're able to better steer our own course along the lines of more positive actions. When we preface our actions with the question, "How would I want to be treated if I were in this position?" we stand a much better chance of making a loving discernment and a more lenient pathway to correction. In Matthew 10, Jesus told the disciples as he sent them out in verse 16, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Jesus is cautioning them, "Be aware of what's going on around you. Make the right judgments as to how you conduct yourselves." When we read of taking the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye, but not seeing the plank in your own eye, we are being cautioned to not judge each other hypocritically. In other words, don't be so concerned about the supposed failings of others. Concentrate more on cleaning up our own personal act. Do a sin check on our own lives before confronting someone else. We are responsible for how we live our own lives, not for how somebody else lives theirs. That final judgment and the separating of the sheep and the goats will be based on the fruit of our own individual lives, not on our mass campaigns to bring others into our way of thinking. What God has in store for someone else maybe 180 degrees from what we think it should be. Our question to ourselves should be, how do I accept the fruit I see in those around me? Do I treat others fairly and with empathy, with love and grace? Do I leave behind a trail of good or of evil? Am I always ready to forgive? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." With the measure we use, it will be measured to us. Do we have a responsibility to convert the rest of the world by judging them? to be unchristian and in need of our help? What does Jesus say in Matthew 7, verse 6, when he says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." This verse follows directly after the scripture about removing the plank from your own eye before helping your brother remove the speck from his. This is an admonition to use good discernment before presenting the gospel to others. If they ridicule and denounce the teachings of Christ, has our spreading of the gospel been a benefit and a glory to God? No, not in the way we think we should be going about converting the unsaved. Be wise, use good judgment, and give the pearls only to those who will honor them and take them to heart. So what have we learned from "Do not judge, or you too will be judged"? Should we judge others? Yes, insofar as it helps us to see which actions and lifestyles we can accept and draw closer to, and those which we should avoid for our own spiritual, emotional, and physical safety and protection. Condemning those who are not yet followers of Christ probably is not the wisest thing for us to do. Better to leave those to Christ. Don't judge them based on our Christian values. In their case, the best thing we can do for them is to pray for them. Judging or forming split-second opinions is as natural as breathing. Making sure we know whether a certain route is safe to go down is a matter of natural preservation. Sharing the Word of God with accepting, open-minded individuals who are looking to change for the better is exercising our wise decision-making. Our job is to speak the love of Jesus and the grace of God into the lives of our fellow believers without malicious judgment nor condemnation, but with gentle helps as they too yield their lives. By making right judgments or discernments, we fulfill our commitment to loving God and to loving our neighbor as ourselves. And that is our duty as followers of the way.